how do you get through the early days when you before you get to that point when your child's just saying that they won't eat?
I think you work through a system. I think you get a system and you understand that yes, they've got to eat. So I think in our household, we had a tag team of where you sat with them with their food. And it used to be I was pretty much preparing the food, but Dad would sit down and supervise while she ate to give me that bit of a break. Because I think in the early days, you're trying to tell them that they've got to trust you, that you're not going to do anything to harm them. But they want to see everything that you're doing for them. So, we would plan a meal we'd do a meal plan for the week. So she knew exactly what she was going to get for dinner that day, but then she'd be querying, have I put too much in? What have I put in? And they're literally there on your shoulder, making sure you're not trying to sneak something into that menu that wasn't there, wasn't agreed, and shouldn't be there in the hope that you can get those few extra calories in. And my advice to any parent who is perhaps in that at the moment is don't deceive them, be honest about it. I think we, from the outset, she was trying to dictate that we'd use a different milk or a different cream because it was less fattening. And thankfully, I turned round and said, no, actually, we're all having this. This is what we do as a family. So I'm not negotiating on that. This is what we are going to do. And she did accept it. There may have been times when it took a little longer for it to go in. But we persevered through that stage, and like I say, now I just know it's not going to be an issue because we are going to beat this. It is not going to beat us.
I think for parents, it's all about resilience and robustness and consistency and being a sort of a broken record. And I think if you can do a tag team, it's brilliant. But there are so many sort of single parents out there, and I think it may well be that they could maybe ask a friend or a neighbour to give a hand, because I think trying to do something like this when you have a very poorly child and you're trying to feed them and you're trying to go through three meals and three snacks each day, which is akin to them having their sort of chemotherapy, I think you wouldn't be averse to asking for help if you were taking your child to chemotherapy, a neighbour or grandparent, auntie, uncle, cousin, whoever. But actually, again, it goes back to this stigma thing where we're concerned about what people might think. But if you can, if there is somebody that you trust, your child feels comfortable with, and you are on your own, I'd really encourage, reaching out and asking for help, and accepting help if it's as and when it's offered, because this is no mean feat to try and support a child through an eating disorder. It does take huge amounts of energy, determination, and compassion. And often compassion can be somewhat short-lived because of the frustration, anger, and fear that you as a parent feel. So I think it's recognizing the emotions that you as an individual go through and asking for help yourself, whether that be through the professionals or through a network of friends, neighbors, and family, just to help you in that in the whole process. It's really important because you it's like in the aircraft safety briefing, they always say in the bit where they say about the oxygen masks coming down, to put your oxygen mask on first before you put one on your child. And this is exactly the same instance here, where you have to look after yourself, your own health, physical and mental, before you can look after somebody else. So trying to be a hero and trying to do it all on your own and refusing help or not admitting that you need help, you're not really helping anyone. So tag teams, support networks, self-care.
What are tag teams?
Tag teams. It's really if there's two parents, two adults in the house, in the household, they might not even be living there, but someone who can, let's say, for example, someone who does the meal preparation and the cooking, and then someone can come and sit and supervise that meal. And then maybe even you swap again, and the person who supervised the meal then disappears and does something else. And then the other person comes and does some distraction after the meal. Or it may be even things like, you know, grandparents are really good, that they may well be able to come and do stuff like jigsaw puzzles and knitting or things like that, where with a restrictive diet, you've got to be really careful about the amount of energy that's being expended. And often, you know, these youngsters are on, might be on bed rest, or, you know, even though telling them to sit and watch Netflix for 20 hours a day for a healthy teenager is something that would be welcomed. But someone with an eating disorder, sitting down for that long is probably their worst nightmare. But actually, it's if they are needing to conserve energy and they're not at school, then having distractions, Netflix, other streaming services are available, but the telly or crosswords or various other things that people can come and help and do with them are also really, really important.